The reading this morning is from Psalm 145. Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. This is the word of God.
Thanks, Rosemary. Good morning. Great to see you here, the faithful remnant that couldn't find a beach to go and hide on, or maybe you already have and you're back. There's a lot of churches that don't actually do a service on this Sunday between Christmas and New Year, but I'm actually glad we do. It's good, isn't it, to come together and to praise God on what will be our last gathering for 2018. And we're really glad you're here because we're going to kick off this little series during January as we explore a number of passages around this theme from Psalm 133:1, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. So under kind of that umbrella, we're going to look at the goodness of God that flows into our lives and into our church and into our community and into our world as we sing together and as we pray together as his people and as we celebrate together and as we mourn together and as we listen together. But today we're going to look at the first of these, the joy of singing and praising God together. And not just singing anything, but singing a new song of praise to our God. It's a really apt topic, isn't it, as we look to the new year and as we close off 2018. So let's pray as we jump into this incredible psalm, Psalm 145. Let's pray together. Lord, we do come to praise you this morning because we love you. And our prayer is that you would draw us closer to you this morning, that we might learn how the kings of old brought praise before you, that we might form that same praise deep in our hearts, Lord, as we follow and as we worship you with our whole lives. So, loving God, we just pray this morning that you would teach us to sing a new song, a song of praise. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. So I want to begin by just turning our attention to the cartoonist Michael Lunig. Many of you hopefully would know that name from the cartoons that Michael Lunig had in the Sydney Morning Herald for many, many years. I don't know if they still run repeats or not, because I don't read the Sydney Morning Herald, certainly not in paper copy anymore. But rather than his comics, I actually want to begin by recalling a story that Michael Lunig tells about himself as a young boy playing AFL football. Not my favourite code, but we'll run with it because he lives in Victoria and this is his code. And he's called this story, Lunig Runs Between the Posts. And in this tale, Michael Lunig is playing AFL and he has the ball and he's actually broken free of the pack and he's got about 10 metres between him and the goal. And his parents and all of the crowd are just waiting for him to put this kick right between those middle posts. And instead, he actually clutches the ball really tightly and he does the unthinkable. He actually runs straight through the goalpost, holding onto the ball. And he's surprised that his bold initiative wasn't actually received that well by anyone, you know, cheering for his team. Because in Australian rules football, if you run through the post holding onto the football, you forfeit the score and you actually have to hand the ball back to the opposition. It means you don't get a goal at all. And Lunig tells this story to try and actually explain why so often he decides against making the obvious joke or the obvious point in his cartoons. He says of his daring mischief, "That refusal to kick the goal has focused for me something that's happened time and time again. I know what's going to happen if I kick the goal. It's just another goal, and then we all go home." A strange story, but it's so true, isn't it? So often life and even faith seems like we just kick the goal and then we go home. We go through the motions. We can go through years just kicking the goal and going through the same thing, and year after year we know what's going to happen, and then we go home and then we do the same thing again. But this morning, as we finish 2018 and we look towards the new year, I want to acknowledge that there's something in us, isn't there, that yearns for something more or something new or something different as we approach 2019. That we might look to this new season, this coming year that lies ahead, with an expectation and an anticipation that won't just be the same old, that actually we'd be able to sing a new song, a song of praise. I actually find this time between Christmas and New Year, it's a great time, isn't it, to reflect on the year that has just passed. And I did a bit of that on the beach at Batemans Bay, which was pretty tough for the last couple of days. And then also to reflect a little bit on the year that lies ahead. And whether we're one of those people that's actually outspoken in making resolutions that we might or might not be able to keep, it's a time when we just resolve in our hearts and in our minds and in our close relationships the things that we want to prioritise and make important in the coming year, but also the things that we want to leave behind and not repeat from this past year. As we look forward, it's a new year, definitely. It's a new day, and with it holds new possibilities and new potential to sing a new song. So this morning we reflect on David's resolve, King David's resolve, as he so eloquently declares this new song that he wants to sing. And he's been building up to this through the Psalms that he's written. Right back in Psalm 33, he talks about singing a new song to the Lord. And then again in Psalm 96, he writes about singing a new song to the Lord. And then in the Psalm right before 145, which would be 144, he writes again about singing a new song to the Lord. He declares his intention to do this. And I believe in Psalm 145, we actually capture the heart of what singing this new song means to King David. But it's a good prayer for us also, isn't it? That as we approach this new year, that our lives might actually sing a new song to God. That whatever has happened in this past year, that whatever we might believe or not believe for this coming year, that under God's sovereignty and under his faithfulness and under his trustworthiness and under his goodness, that we might be able to embrace every single thing that's been made available to us through his son Jesus. That we might be able to take hold of all that God's Spirit wants to do in and through us. And that we might stand on the promises from his word. And this passage contains a whole bunch of those promises all brought together in one neat little package. So it's those promises we come to today as we consider what might actually become of us and our church and our community as we devote ourselves to singing together in unity of God's goodness. So as we come to Psalm 145, we're actually gifted with these beautiful, beautiful words of praise. 22 reasons to praise him, and we'll come back and have a look at this in just a few moments. 22 reasons to praise him, written by a servant of God who was longing to sing this new song with all of his life. And I believe David shows us a way to begin that journey for ourselves. And it's captured in this wonderful invitation to adopt a life of praise. And what we see in David's psalm is this new song involves the focus of our praise. And it involves a choice to give praise. And we look also at the impact of singing a song of praise. But first of all, the focus. Here we see this new song of praise that takes the focus off us and puts the focus firmly on God and who he is. Look at verses 1 to 3 if you've got your Bibles there. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. See, right from the outset here, David asserts God's praiseworthiness in an emphatic way. He points to God's kingship. He points to God's greatness. And he declares that this God is one who is most worthy of praise. And then as we jump to verses 8 and 9 in the middle of the psalm, and then from verses 13 right through to verses 20, David proceeds to declare a multitude of characteristics about God and why he is so praiseworthy. Some of these are captured on that little sheet. 22 reasons to praise God. David sings that he praises him because God is gracious. He praises him because God is compassionate. He praises God because he's slow to anger and because he's rich in love. He praises him because he is good to all, because he is mighty, because he is trustworthy. He praises him because he is righteous and he is near. And the list just goes on and on and on. There's probably more than 22 there at least. Now what's going on here? It's not like God needs some reminding of his CV, you know, his resume. He doesn't need that read back to him. So what is David trying to do here? What David's trying to do here for himself, but also for his fellow singers, is to shift his focus off himself and his own vision and his own plans and his own preoccupations and to switch their attention to God the King and his plans and his vision and his purposes. This is the purpose of this psalm and why David calls us to come and sing this new song of praise. I like what J. Clinton McCann Jr. says. He reflects that to repeat Psalm 145, to praise God, is to acknowledge one's own insufficiency and to take hold of the sovereignty of God's loving purposes. He says it is, in a real sense, to live in a different world. Not in the escapist sense, but in the sense that God's claims and God's values and God's priorities inevitably put us at odds with a prevailing culture that promotes autonomy. He says, in other words, Psalm 145 invites us to live in the world of God's reign, the world where the fundamental reality and pervasive power is the gracious, compassionate, faithful love of God. Can you see here these two worlds that David pulls apart here? And he says, take your focus off your own little world and put your focus on God's reign and God's kingdom and who God is and all of these awesome promises. Now, I don't know about you, but I desperately want to live and operate in that different world in the year to come. It's great, isn't it, to just keep turning up and to keep kicking the goal. But maybe this year is the year where we just hold on to that football and we just run through the post for something different as we begin to sing a new song. And the invitation here is to switch our attention from the here and the now and the busyness and the preoccupation with our own lives, and to put our focus instead on all there is to praise about our mighty God. Why? So we can actually step into and live more fully in the world of God's reign. But first, McCann points out so bluntly, actually, that we need to acknowledge our own insufficiency, which is hard, isn't it, in a world, in a culture that is so driven by being self-sufficient and being self-made and being self-focused. This is really our challenge as we try to step into that world of God's reign. You know, I've actually met people, though, that march to that different beat, that sing a song of praise, you know, much louder than I do, who live this life of praise much more fully and naturally, where I actually long to be like them and to live that life. And I run into these people everywhere, but you know where I've met most of these people? And it's in the most unlikely of places. I've met people like that who sing that different song in the slums on the edge of Nairobi. And I've met people like that in the rural Zambia, you know, where they have nothing, where they live day to day on whatever food and water they can get hold of. I meet people like that in the shanty towns in Manila and in Philippines. And in the communities living with disabilities in rural Andhra Pradesh in India. I've met people like that in the farms in Malawi who just work 16-hour days just trying to feed their family. And when I've met those people and I hear this new song that they sing and their beautiful praise and the joy on their faces, it actually doesn't make sense. How can, in the poorest and the most disadvantaged places in the world, people seem most full of joy and full of praise towards our God? And reflecting afterwards on each of those visits, which are a few years ago now, I've always asked, why are the poor able to praise God like they do, especially given the circumstances that they're living in? And really it comes back to one thing. Their focus is not so much on their circumstances and their plans and their situation, is it? Their focus is on this different kingdom. It's on God's kingdom and God's reign and God's plans and God's purposes and God's promises, even for them when they're living in dire circumstances. And because they're so aware of the frailty of this world, and of this life. They put their focus more fully upon God and his promises to them. And they have reason to praise him also. See, this is the challenge for us, isn't it? Living in the first world is to live holding more loosely to the things and the ways of this world and to hold more strongly to the character and the promises of God for our lives. Because as McCann Jr. says, Psalm 145 invites us to live in the world of God's reign, the world where the fundamental reality and pervasive power is the gracious, compassionate, faithful love of God. So this new song for David and for us, it actually starts in this subtle or not so subtle shift in the focus of our attention. Where? From us to God. From our circumstances to God's kingdom. And for David, just like for us, that is always a choice. It's always a choice for him and for us to choose to praise God for who he is, for his mighty, this sovereign king who is worthy to be praised. That is where this new song actually stems from and where it continues to come from. And we see throughout the psalm, David highlights that praise is a choice that he makes every single day. Verse 1, I will exalt you. I will praise your name. Verse 2, every day I will praise you. Verse 5, I will meditate on your wonderful works. Verse 6, I will proclaim your great deeds. Right through to verse 21, my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. It's almost like David is trying to convince himself as he talks up his commitment. Or maybe this is like us with our New Year's resolutions. Maybe he's trying to make himself accountable, and this is some kind of declaration before the people so they can come back and say, David, this is what you said. This is your commitment. That you'll praise God, that you'll sing this new song. It's a little bit like us when we publish our New Year's resolutions, those that like to do that, and we pop them on social media saying, you know, I'm going to exercise more this year, and I'm going to eat less this year. And then we, a couple of weeks later, go back and delete that post, and hoping no one's going to keep us accountable because already, you know, 1 or 2 weeks on, our resolve has died. Or maybe David is just celebrating with joy here. This new song that he's chosen to sing as he's giving over his life to praising his God. Whatever his motivation, just like David, we have a choice, don't we? A choice to join with this heavenly chorus and to fix our attention and our thoughts and our lives on this amazing God, to dare to live by God's claim and under his watchful care, and to put our trust in God's promises to us. Now, I don't say this flippantly because I know 2018 has been a difficult year for many. Many of us here, many of us in our church. The loss of loved ones, unexpectedly and too early. The diagnosis of serious illness that just seems so indiscriminate sometimes. The impact of storms and other events that just reminds us of the frailty of everything. Difficulty finding a job or some kind of meaningful employment for some of us. 2018 saw, you know, ongoing tension in some relationships that just don't seem to get better despite our prayers. And I think the comment that I've heard most over the last few weeks in particular is, how do people get through this without God? Without standing on his promises. How do people cope with these losses and these tragedies without a community of faith to come around and uphold them? Well, I can tell you the answer is with great difficulty. But we have God. And we have a community of faith that beats to a different drum, that belongs to a different kingdom. And the invitation to us this year is to press in and hold on tightly during these times, and to choose to believe in God's goodness and his promises, even when it's really, really hard. And then it's not easy. For some of us, that'll take all of our strength just to gather with God's people. But when we do, we're carried by their praises, aren't we? And some of us here need to be carried into the new year. That's okay. As our church wraps our loving arms around those people, and we carry them as they hurt. So together we can praise God that he is unchanging, and that he is mighty, and that he is faithful, and that he is a loving, compassionate God. And when we do this, I love this quote from Stormy Amachin. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Julia shared this just yesterday. When we do, when we come and we praise and we worship God together like he asks us and commands us to do, what happens? His presence comes to dwell amongst us. And when it does, things change. Always. Hearts change. Situations change. Lives change. Minds change. Attitudes change. We get to sing the new song when we do this. And here is the thing. When we can hold on and we can keep praising God, not only does it change us, but it also has a profound impact on others. And this is the third thing that David teaches us here. The impact that our praise has on others. Of one generation commending his works to the next, to another. See, as David and his choir, as they declare their praises for God, this praise naturally overflows to all the people, including those beyond their nation of Israel, as they watch on and go, what is going on over there amongst those people? And the method for this is captured from verse 4. One generation commends your works to another. What do? They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of your glorious splendor, of your majesty. They meditate on your wonderful works. Then they tell again of the power of your awesome works. They proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate with abundant goodness. And they joyfully what? They joyfully sing of your righteousness. They sing a new song. Jumping to verse 10, all your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of your glory, of your kingdom, and speak of your might. Why do they do that? Verse 12, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. See, David has this beautiful image here of praise being passed from one generation to another through celebrating all that he has done in and through our lives. With this faithful community singing to the Lord this song of praise that's going to be heard by all people, so that they too might know of God's might and glory and splendor. Friends, Psalm 145 reminds us to tell each other about the great things that God has done in and amongst us. To speak of his majesty. To tell about his wonderful and awesome works. To share about his great deeds. To share the things that we have cause to praise him for and be thankful for. And we do this from one generation to another. We do this within families. There's some families gathered here together today. We do this across communities. And this is what I love about being part of this community. You, as a faith community, you share God's praises and thank. You share your thankfulness, and it encourages me and it spurs me on. And I can also imitate how to live under God's reign. And then hopefully I do that for the next generation as well, and for my children and for their children's children. And as we do this, we see this beautiful picture of praise actually moving from the singular to the plural, from I to we, as we're reminded that praise is something that we sing best when we gather together as the people of God. It is each of you and the stories of your life that overflow and encourage all of us as you share what God has done and what He's doing in your life. Which is why, you know, as you come to the end of the sermon, what you're supposed to do is tell another illustration and then apply it and try and land the whole thing. Well, rather than giving you another illustration from my life, I actually just want you to take a moment to consider just one thing that you can give God praise for 2018, as we reflect on His goodness and grace. And you can use this little flyer if you want and just pick one off that, because this might be a very difficult and challenging task for you, given where you're at. You can do this on your own, or we can break all the rules and you can talk during the sermon time. You can talk amongst your family, or you can just talk to one person next to you or behind you or in front of you. And I want you just to consider, just for a brief moment, I'm not going to let this go too long, just one thing that you can give God praise for as we reflect on His goodness and grace this year. Go. Usually when we do this, the first person to share, it's a little bit awkward, but then after you've heard someone else give thanks and give praise, it usually prompts for you something that you can give thanks and praise for. And I might get the worship band to start heading back up, but I thought about this for me. For me, I just want to praise God for the people that uphold me and my family in prayer. For the notes and the words of encouragement, and even for people like my mate Trevor Wright, you know, he rings me at really random times and just leaves these voicemail messages about God's blessing and God's favour being over my life, and how he's praying for me for ministry and for the coming year, and all of those things, you know, I just want to give thanks for and just praise for God's provision and goodness to me, and which is just ongoing. And I don't want to hog the opportunity, though. If someone really has a burning desire to share what you're thankful and want to give praise to God for, I'm actually going to give you the opportunity. This is like us running through the goalposts right now, holding onto the ball, isn't it? Far out, open mic in church. You don't do that. But the only stipulation is it just has to be one sentence or a sentence and a half. Otherwise, Peter's going to mute you, and then I'll grab the microphone back and we'll go on to someone else. But is there someone, just as you shared, you just thought this would be an encouragement to my brothers and sisters in Christ, just to share what I'm thankful for and what I want to give praise for? If not, I'm not going to be at all sad, because it means I get to go home and hook up my boat and head to the lake.
Just the love and support of God's people this year. It's been great, the community that we live in, and we just want to thank you all very much.
Thanks, John. Is there someone else? I should have got a runner for the microphone.
I just want to say thank you, Jesus, because sometimes one door closes, and I had one ministry door closed for me in Lakemba. I won't go into the details. But then he opened up another door for me, and I'm now teaching ladies sewing in Auburn, Muslim ladies. So one door closes and another door opens. So thanks God for that.
Praise the Lord. Did I see another hand?
A very selfish personal praise point. We had a daughter and son-in-law and two grandchildren who were absolutely intent they were going to go up to Queensland and move there permanently. And then things changed and they decided they were staying here. So, you know, very happy about that.
Grandparents love those decisions and pray heavily into those decisions, don't they? Anyone else? Just a word of praise. I'm encouraged already just hearing those few, aren't you? Thanks.
Try not to cry. Two special answers to prayer. One on Christmas Eve, so I think that was actually my best Christmas present. Somebody very dear in our extended family showed that I wasn't the baddie anymore. And another prayer that I've been praying for about 3 years, where there was a difficult situation 3 years ago and I've been praying for it. I didn't say anything to the person because I valued the relationship, and there was a chance for that person to express their regret leading up to Christmas, and I'm so grateful to God I didn't say anything. So,
thanks, Deb. It's super encouraging when you have those breakthroughs. I don't need that anymore. We're going to continue on sharing those praise points, but I don't actually want this to finish here today. We're on the dawn of a new year, 2019, and I just really felt like God was calling us as a church to really step into singing a new song. And that new song is a song of praise, a praise to Him. Because there's nowhere else to look, is there? Let's pray. Loving God, just thank you for this ancient psalm and just your challenge, but just a beautiful invitation to us this morning to, again, to put our focus on you for this coming year. Lord, to choose to come and to worship you and to praise you and to be thankful. Lord, to stand on your promises through the good times and the tough times. Lord, to come together and to sing praises amongst your people, that we may be encouraged, that we may be upheld, that we may be carried. Lord, that we may know you more fully. Lord, I pray that you would do this amongst your people because you love us, Lord, and you want the best for us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.